Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening. Coming up later on tonight, Cleveland Indians baseball tribe playing host to the Oakland A's at Progressive Field. Indians warm-up at 6:37, first pitch coming your way just after 7 o'clock. And Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, one of the voices you will hear on that tribe broadcast, and Rosie is kind enough to give us some of his time right now. Our weekly talks with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Stop by to get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got an all-star lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from, and don't forget their fresh-cut fries. Rosie, as always, thank you so much for that time. How are you?
Hey, Bull. How are you doing?
We are doing very well, and I would imagine for you, you've got to be pretty happy to be back home after being out on the road for so long. It was a successful road trip for the tribe, ending it with four consecutive victories, including a sweeper over the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, it turned out to be a good road trip after a sluggish start for the Indians, but that seemed to kind of give them some momentum going into Kansas City, and they really played a good series against the Royals. So a nice way to finish. And head into that last homestand before the All-Star break with some good clubs coming in.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll get into the homestand here in just a few, but I want to get into the end of that road trip. Obviously a very special moment, not only a sweeper over a divisional opponent, but the way that it ended with Cody Allen getting the save and becoming the franchise's all-time saves leader. Rosie, I got to throw this question at you because this has been talked about on social media. It's been discussed on talk shows as well. You know, I'm not quite sure where you stand on this, but, you know, maybe it's the demeanor of Cody Allen. He's not one of those guys that's looked at as, oh, I don't know. He's not exactly one of those guys that you hear a whole lot about because he goes to work and does his business every single time they ask him to go out there and pitch multiple innings. He does it. He's one of those guys that I feel like doesn't get talked about a ton. Do you get the impression that maybe not necessarily here in Cleveland, but on the national scene, he's one of those guys that gets overlooked a bit?
I think that's fair to say. You know, there's probably more high-profile closers out there, but I don't know that he really worries about that too much or anybody in that clubhouse worries about it too much. You know, I'm not sure what makes a high-profile closer on the national level or not a high-profile closer, but the bottom line for the Indians is, and I think more important than the total save number for him each year, is just the percentage. I mean, his save percentage is over 90% in his career. This year he's going along really well. He's only had one blown save the whole season, and we're past the halfway mark. So that's the important thing. I think he probably does go unnoticed a little bit on the national scene. I don't think you'll see him in the All-Star game, maybe, but I doubt it. But is he qualified? Sure, but I don't know that that's all that important to him or the team, as long as he gets the job done here, and that's how he's always been, and I think we get a refresher course on that because of what he's done here in his last two games, tying and then breaking the record. He has gone out of his way to deflect any accolades toward him and really talked about how important it's been for the others in that bullpen to set him up to make his job easy, which it's not. So, yeah, it's kind of neat. And hey, if he's not recognized as much on the national level as maybe some people think, I don't think that bothers him too much, that's for sure.
Has that kind of been the persona of this ball club this year, Rosie? I mean, I know you always talk about team first, but usually when guys hit those big records, you hear a lot about it. I remember the other day, Tito got his 500th win as a Cleveland Indian manager. We had Cody Allen get the record for saves as an Indian the other day, and they just kind of bypass it and they move on. I mean, it really is all about team, it seems, with this club.
And then it is, and, you know, I think to some extent, you know, when you look at some of the things that happen, I mean, a nice accolade for Tito and a nice accolade for Cody Allen, but for them, I mean, they're at a point here where, you know, they went to the World Series and came as close as you can without winning it in 16, and that's their primary goal. I don't think they're too worried about the individual stuff, and I don't think they really worry too much about what the national media thinks of them. I mean, whenever you hear about prime contenders to win it all, it's Yankees, Red Sox, Astros from the American League. And that's fair. I mean, the Indians are in a division that nobody's talking about, and it has a chance to be an historically bad division after the Indians. But that's not their fault. They can only play the schedule and then the division that you're in. So they're just going out and trying to play as well as they can. And then if certain things come their way, that's kind of gravy for them, I think.
And from my perspective this year, Rosie, it almost seems like this is a bit of a blessing right now. The Indians, a double-digit lead here in the division over the Tigers and the Twins. Last year, it seemed like there was a lot more pressure. Everyone kept talking about starting pitching, about the hitting, and we weren't even to the All-Star break, it seemed. This year, it seems people are relaxed. There's a lot of talk about relievers and getting extra people in the bullpen, but it seems moderately relaxed because the division seems to be in hand. It's all about the postseason this time.
And it is. And I think, again, that's just the way the division has set up this year, where certain teams are in terms of their development. And for a lot of them, it's development and not winning at this time. Really, every other team in the division at this point, Minnesota being the big surprise to that regard, and that I think a lot of people thought they would be a lot better. And they may yet be. I know talking to Terry Francona, he feels that at some point, now they may have a huge hill to climb, but at some point they're going to play better baseball. But with that said, I mean, you can't control what your division's doing and unless you're playing them, and the Indians have had great success within the division. So, yeah, I mean, their mindset is how do they put themselves in the best spot for the postseason, and task number one is winning the division, and they're certainly taking care of that so far. And then, you know, how do you set it up where you feel you match up really well with the teams that are going to be in there?
We're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, and our weekly talks with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, I want to focus on one of the Indians' backstops for a moment here. Boy, Yan Gomes is having a terrific year, a 775 OPS coming into tonight's game against the A's, and I'm not so sure I'd call that a surprise, but this has definitely been a bounce-back year for him. You know, I'm just wondering, you've had the chance to watch him on a daily basis, and I know injuries certainly kind of plagued him the last couple of years. What are some of the major differences you're seeing from Yan Gomes this year as opposed to last?
Well, just talking to him and then also Ty Van Berkelio, the hitting coach, and Tito, from his perspective, he said he's been doing a better job of if not thinking about the at-bats prior and just focusing on the next one and not worrying about if he hit a line drive and it was caught, or if he struck out, just staying with an approach that he feels comfortable with and sticking with that regardless of what's happened before. And so what both Ty and Tito have mentioned is that he's done a better job of not tinkering with his stance. I guess in the past he would do that a lot if he would go through a bad stretch, whether it was, just hitting in some hard luck or not, he would still tinker and try and get better and get better results, which sometimes can be a real challenge for a hitter. And so he's done a much better job of just staying with a good approach that he's had since spring training, not tinkering too much with his stance or anything like that, and not worrying about what's happened before, just kind of taking a look at what's to come and the next at-bat, and it's really worked for him.
And it's interesting, too, Rosie, because, it's been discussed the last couple of years about how the Indians have this luxury. They've got two very good catchers on the roster, and it was hard to decipher, 1A from 1B with both Roberto Perez and Yan Gomes. But, boy, this year, Rosie, is it safe to say that Gomes has really kind of stood out as the clear-cut number one catcher on this roster?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's absolutely stood out. And going into the season, for sure, I think it was up for grabs. And really, Perez had gotten the better of the playing time down the stretch last year and in the postseason. So this has been a turnaround. And going into spring training, I don't think Tito would come out and say it was a competition. But he did kind of say that, I don't know that he felt comfortable with splitting it right down the middle. I think he definitely felt that one or the other needed to play a little bit more to try and get them going. And he started out with Gomes in right at the outset, playing a little bit more, and Yan really took that and ran with it. And Roberto just never has really been able to get going at the plate. So now it's become fairly easy for Tito to play Gomes more. And That's not that he doesn't feel comfortable with Roberto Perez. Certainly defensively he does, but he has really struggled at the plate, and they're just getting more out of Yan Gomes.
Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, our weekly Talks with Rosie, brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, this outfield seems to be a revolving door outside of Michael Brantley. You know, more injuries just continue to pile up. The calf injuries just won't go away for Lonnie Chisenhall. Brandon Guyer banged up again. He's day-to-day. How do you think that might alter the outfield plan over the next 10 days or so? I did see the Indians were able to sign Melky Cabrera again to a minor league contract. What are the chances that we see Melky up with the Tribe again over the next 10 days?
You know what? They might be pretty good. I think it was a really hard decision when everybody came back almost at the same time to let him go. Tito really felt that he was giving the Indians some good at-bats and was coming along, had knocked some of the rust off, but they just had this numbers crunch and they wanted to keep Chisenhall going and Naquin going, and then Guyer came back, so they couldn't keep Melky Cabrera. But now, though, some of those guys are back hurt, so I think we'll see him. I really do. If he, he'll play a little bit this weekend at Columbus, and I'm going to guess if he shows that, there's not a whole lot of rust there from a couple of weeks out, that he'll get right back up here and play. Now, I don't know what that means for someone else, but I think he'll be here at some point in time, maybe even before the All-Star break.
Rosie, on the mound, Trevor Bauer's been absolutely stunning for the Indians of late. And I know he's come out publicly and said one of his goals in his career is to win Cy Young's. If he keeps this up, I mean, is he going to be in that conversation this year and along the line for possible Cy Young nomination?
I think so. I mean, his numbers are solid. You look at obviously Corey Kluber and some others, but mm-hmm. there's a long, long way to go here in this season.
Sure.
And if Bauer can put together a second half like he did in the first half, I think he'll be in the conversation. I mean, you look at how many votes Carlos Carrasco got last year, and I think that may tell you that certainly Trevor Bauer is in that same category. And if he can even move forward to and do better than he has done in the first half, then he's in serious consideration. But I think it's fair to say he's one of the top pitchers in the American League right now. Cy Young worthy, not quite yet. You got some guys in Houston who will have something to say about that, and some of his own teammates, but he's certainly making a push to be in that conversation.
Rosie, if we could go back to the outfield conversation for just a second here. We were talking about Melky Cabrera being signed to a minor league deal, and you mentioned, he'll play in Columbus and see if there's no rust, and if that's the case, there's a good chance we might see him again before the All-Star break. I've got to ask you about Francisco Mejia. I know he was only up with the big league club for about a day, and that was a few weeks back. With the signing of Cabrera, that on the surface leads me to believe that we're probably not going to see Mejia get many at-bats at the big league level, at least not just yet. But this is trade season, and obviously that's a big name that people are throwing around right now. If the Indians are going to make a deal, Mejia seems to be one of those guys that might be dangled out there. Any chance that he might get some at bats with the big league club and maybe play a little bit in the outfield before we get to the end of the month?
Bull, I'd be surprised if that happened. Just from the standpoint of I don't know that they trust him yet in the outfield. I think there's a certain value that they place on defense, and with Brantley in left, and Chisenhall and Guyer have made some good plays in right, and then Greg Allen's been in center, Rajay Davis has been out there in center. I think they would be reluctant to put the inexperience of Mejia out there in the outfield. There's nothing worse than you have a great pitcher in Corey Kluber on the mound, as an example, and he gives up a fly ball that should be caught. That's not good. So that has an impact on the rest of the team. And I think that's what they're fearful of right now. I think he's done okay at Columbus from everything I've heard, but not great. So I think it would be a stretch for this team. If the Indians were out of it and developing, absolutely, they'd bring him up in a heartbeat and throw him out there and see what happens. But they're not that team, and I think for this type of team, that would be really tough to do.
Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this. The Oakland A's are in town tonight, and the Indians, seems like they just saw the A's. It was only a week ago, and I'm always curious to get different answers to this question because I think certainly it's a matter of opinion, and every situation is definitely different, but I've always thought that when you see the same team twice over the course of 10 days, familiarity, I have always thought, really kind of favors the hitters. But there are a lot of people on the other end of that spectrum saying, no, absolutely not. The familiarity favors the pitchers. Where do you fall on that? Do you think any of that may factor into this weekend's series?
It might, and I know the Indians will see the exact same starters that they saw last weekend, two of which threw really well. And from that standpoint, I think they have had a chance to go to school, and I would be surprised if they didn't perform better against Paul Blackburn tonight and then Edwin Jackson tomorrow. That may not happen. They may get shut down again. But I think they came away from both of those outings kind of tipping their cap. Both pitchers threw well, but I think they also felt that they might have helped them out a little bit. And so it'd be interesting to see if they have a different approach here this weekend. So yeah, I'll go hitters on that and leave it at that.
Fair enough. Well, I 100% agree with you on that. I've heard a lot of counter-arguments from people telling me, no, that definitely favors the pitchers. But again, it's always fun to get a different perspective. Rosie, we know you're slammed, so we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you again. Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our weekly Talks with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Stop by to get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got an all-star lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from, and don't forget their fresh-cut fries. We need to get to a break. We'll take one right now and come back with more Bullseye on the Afternoon right after this on AM 930 WEOL.